Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the fifth chapter, Mishnah 1 and Mishnah 2 of Bava Metziah for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. I have to apologize before we begin chapter 5, which deals with a rebeat or interest. Perhaps more than most Mishnayot in general, and certainly the Mishnayot in Bava Metziah, these Mishnahs really require a huge amount of Talmudic explanation in order for them to really makes sense, because they're not exactly what they seem at face value. There are exceptions, explanations, there are varying cases, but the goals of these OU Shirim is to focus on the Mishnah and not to become a Talmud class. So I'm going to have to keep the explanations to a minimum and just keep it, you know, as close as possible to the face value, unless it's really not comprehensible at its face value. As I said, the topic of this chapter is about the Torah prohibition and the biblical and the rabbinic prohibition, and it's mostly the rabbinic prohibition of rebeat or neshech. Now, the Torah uses neshech and rebeat in the same way. They're both interest. They both translate as interest. Here in the Mishnah, we're going to see that the word neshech is going to be reserved for interest which is prohibited by the Torah itself, and rebeat is going to be interest which is prohibited by the rabbis, because it is avak rebeat, means there's a residue, there's a smell of rebeat to these actions, and therefore the rabbis felt they should be prohibited as well. And now let's take a look. Ezu neshech vezu tarbit. So which one is considered neshech, which would mean biblical interest, and which one is rabbinic? So ezu neshech, which one is the Torah prohibition of rebeat? It's pretty straightforward. Hamalva sela b'chamisha dinarim. One who loans 4 dinars, a sela is 4 silver dinars, under the condition that he get 5 back. That is interest, straight up, pure and simple. Or satayim chiti mishalosh. Or if you loan out 2 se'as of wheat with the demand that you pay back 3 se'as of wheat, that is also neshech, that's also interest. And why is it called neshech? Mepnei shehu noshech, because it takes a bite. Now the word tarbi comes from the word harbei, which means to increase, meaning you loan money or you loan out of some transaction, you wind up making more back than you gave out. The Ezu Tarbit. So exactly what is Tarbit? The rabbinic prohibition of interest, which you're not allowed to do. Harmar bepeirot. Somebody who increases from their fruit. Now, keep in mind that fruit here doesn't just mean fruit, although it can mean fruit, but it really means profits. Just like in the English expression, fruits of labor. So you are not allowed to increase your value by leveraging your profits. And the Mishnah will now say, Ketzad, how is it that one does such a thing? And here's the case. Lakachi menu chitim bedinar zahavakur, v'chein hashar, amdu chitim b'shloshim dinarim, amar lo, tein li chitai, sh'ani rotzen l'mochran v'lokeach bahem yayin. So here's the case. So let's say Reuben paid Shoshana 1 golden dinar. I hope you won't mind me using Shoshana instead of Shimon. Could be that by using a guy and a girl, it'll make things a little clearer. I know I always get Reuben and Shimon mixed up. So let's say Reuben pays Shoshana 1 golden dinar. Now, why does he give her 1 golden dinar, which is 25 silver dinars? So Shoshana will supply him with a kur of wheat, a large amount of wheat. And Shoshana does not have the wheat right away. She'll be supplying him with wheat over a period of time. Now, in Mishnah 7, we're going to see that there are limits to when you could do this. But right now, the case is clear. The market price is set. That's why it says v'chein hashar. So even though Shoshana does not have the wheat in hand, because she could go out and buy it right away, therefore this kind of transaction is acceptable. What happens next? Then things go bad, for Shoshana at least. Shoshana instead does not purchase the wheat right away, and she waits around. And unfortunately for Shoshana, although it's good news for Reuben, wheat, the commodity of wheat, shoots up to 30 dinar per kor, as opposed to 25 dinar per kor, which is a pretty good return on investment. So even though Shoshana is going to take a drubbing of 5 dinar, this, according to Mishnah 7, as we'll see, is perfectly okay because the money was paid up front. However, what happens is, Reuben says to Shoshana, I want my wheat now. Pay me up my wheat right now. Why? Because I know that wheat has gone up in price to 30 silver pieces, 30 silver dinar kor, and I want to buy wine from my profits. So Amar Lo. So what does Shoshana say? I know it probably should say Amralo, but that's okay. We'll let it slide a little bit. So Shoshana says to him, Hari chitecha asuyot alai bishloshim, v'hari l'cha etzli b'hen yayin. So let me take your wheat. That is, I'll adopt the 30 dinars of wheat that I owe you. And with it, I'll purchase you 30 dinars of wine. Now, this seems like exactly like the first case. Shoshana takes $30 from him and says she'll pay him back $30 of wine. But here's the problem. V'yayin eilo. Shoshana doesn't have the wine in hand, and the price may go up. But it's different from when Shoshana didn't have the wheat in hand, and the price went up. Because when the transaction for the wheat was made, there was cash in hand. Reuven actually gave Shoshana the 25 dinar, the one golden dinar, and said, I want my wheat. So if Shoshana doesn't pay it right away and she winds up losing a little bit because the market goes up, that's fine because it's a cash in hand transaction. But what's happening here is Shoshana is saying, listen, I can't pay you back the wheat right now. You give me the wheat, so to speak, or the $30 equivalent of the wheat, and I'll go buy you $30 of wine. Which means that Shoshana is essentially taking a loan from Reuven for $30, because really she owes him $30 of wheat right now. So by saying, oh, I'm going to hold on to the wheat, and with it I'm going to buy another item, that means that it's a loan that Reuven is now giving to Shoshana. So what's the problem? If the wine now goes up in price from, let's say, 30 to 35, that means that Reuven will have loaned Shoshana 30 silver pieces, and she'll wind up having to pay him if wine increases in profit. Of course, the wine could stay the same, or the wine could go down in price, but since there's a possibility that the wine will go up in price, it'll mean that a loan was made of 30, and 35 or 31 or 30 and a half, whatever increase, doesn't make a difference, is returned. And even though that's not ribbit from the Torah, it certainly smacks of ribbit. It's avak ribbit. Now, if she did have the wine in hand, which means she could pay him right away, then that would be okay. The market's fixed at how much 30 silver pieces of wine is, and the fact that she hasn't actually taken it out of her storage compartment to give it to him is not a problem because she's having it right there. That means she's immune to any market increases. But if she did not have the wine, she can't use the loan or the pseudo loan of the $30 of wheat to pay back an imaginary or a wine that she does not have, because the wine price may go up and that would wind up with being an interest or an increase in Reuven's money based on a loan that he gave her. And now we go on to Mishnah Bet, which are more cases of or situations where the rabbis forbade the transactions, not because they're actually Torah interest. Again, Torah interest is very straightforward. I give you $5, you have to pay me back $6. I give you 5 pounds of wheat, you got to pay me back 6 pounds of wheat. But there are other transactions which cause one to increase one's value, and therefore they are some of them are prohibited and some of them are not. The Mishnah will continue explaining which ones are and which ones aren't. Hamal ve chavero lo yadur b'chatzero chinam v'lo yiskor mimenu b'pachot b'pnei shehu ribit. So if you make a loan to someone, you can't live on their property for free, and not only that, you can't rent from them at below market value. And that's because what it looks to people like you're doing, even if you're not actually doing this. Let's say you had already made up with the person that you're going to hang out in his house and borrow his basement for 6 months. Once you make that loan, however, people are going to look at it and say, oh, Reuven loaned Shoshana $5,000, and he's taking favors that he gets to rent from her properties for cheap, or he gets to hang out in her basement for no cost whatsoever. So even though there's no actual interest going on, it appears to be interest, and therefore the rabbis made it prohibited. You cannot loan somebody money and take favors, because then it looks like you're leveraging them, you're pushing them around, because of the loan that you made. Marvin al schar ve'eno marvin al mecher. So now the Mishnah explains that there are certain situations where you can increase your value and certain where you can't. Schar means wages or salary or something else we'll see in a second. And mecher means actual sales. And this is the case that they're talking about. Ketzad, how does this work? Hiskir lo et chatzero ve'amar lo im me'achshav atanoten li hari hu l'cha be'eser slaim l'shana. However, ve'im shel chodesh b'chodesh, v'sela l'chodesh, that is mutar. So if you rent your property for a year, and then you say to the person who's renting from you, listen, if you pay me up front, you can have it for 10 selas, which would be, I guess, 0.9 sela a month, approximately. But if you pay me month by month, I'm going to charge you a full sela a month. So 10 selas if you pay up front, and 12 selas if you pay month to month at the end of the year. The Mishnah says that's okay, and here's the reason why it's okay. The amount that you pay for rentals, when you rent something for somebody, you pay them for the rental. what you're really doing is paying when the rental's finished. So even though, let's say you rent a car, you're paying for the use of that car, which means the money is really obligated at the end when you finish using what you wanted to use. Now, it's true that most people take money up front. For instance, if you rent a car these days in America, you pay at the end, as you should, but they actually deduct money up front from your credit card just in case there are damages or whatever reason that they do that, make sure that they have the money in hand. Then when they're finished, they'll cancel that earlier payment and then they'll actually charge you the money. That's how rent works. You use somebody's item, and then when you're good and finished with using that guy's item, you pay the price. And therefore, what's going on here is really the rental is 12 sellers, one seller per month. What is the guy saying to the renter? They're saying, listen, I want to be a good guy. I want to do you a favor. So if you pay me up front, or if you pay me up front instead of it costing the standard rate of 12 sellers per year, I'll give it to you for 10 sellers per year. So this is not interest. This is actually somebody doing somebody a favor, giving him a rebate or a coupon or some money off the top. However, in a sale, it doesn't work that way. Machar lo et sadehu, if you sold the field, v'amar lo, you say to him, imei achshav aton noten li, if you pay me up front, harihi shalcha be'elav zuz, then I'll only charge you 1,000 zuz for my property. Im la goren, but if you wait until your food is in the granary, which makes sense because then the seller knows the buyer will have lots of cash on hand, v'shnei masar mana, then it will cost you an extra 200 zuz, 1,200 zuz. That is prohibited. And the reason why it's prohibited is because a sale transaction takes place right away. You say, give me $1,000, pay me, but if you don't pay me right now, you'll have to pay me more later. But the property is owned by the purchaser right away, which means really the market value is established right away at the $1,000, 1,000 zuz it should have cost had the person paid up right away. So therefore, when the person doesn't pay up right away, that means that they're really taking a loan or a mortgage from the seller that they're going to pay back once the food comes into the granary and they're flush with cash, but then the payback is 1200, which means the market value is 1000, the payback is 1200, and even though that's not from the Torah ribbit, because it was done sort of in a backhanded way and the guy made the stipulation at the front, and theoretically you could pretend that the market value actually, or not only pretend, you could really say the market value is different. 1,000 up front, 12,000, 1,200 later. From a rabbinic sense, it should have been 1,000. You're paying back 1,200. If it smells like ribbit and it walks like ribbit and it quacks like ribbit, or like a frog, I guess, then it is, and the rabbi is prohibited.